From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where payments made by Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey's office are raising some eyebrows. To date, Healey's office has spent more than $1 million in legal fees to defend three former prosecutors facing disbarment for their roles in one of the state's drug lab scandals. WBUR's Deborah Becker has been digging into these expenditures and joins me now. Hey, Deb.
Hi, Arun.
So what exactly are these fees paying for?
Well, three former assistant attorneys general are facing punishment for not disclosing potentially exculpatory evidence in the drug lab scandal involving former chemist Sonia Farrick. She was convicted, you probably remember, of tampering with drug samples at the state lab in Amherst, and thousands of criminal convictions were tossed after she was convicted in 2014. Now, lower courts have said that two of these former assistant AGs, Ann Kaczmarek and Chris Foster, deliberately withheld the evidence in an effort to minimize the extent of Farrick's misconduct. And the Board of Bar Overseers, which disciplines lawyers, is now considering charges against the prosecutors and if these two and their boss at the time, John Verner, will be punished for not turning over this evidence. So the more than $1 million represents the legal bills that the state is paying to represent these three in disciplinary proceedings.
So these are lawyers that are being represented. And to be clear, the money that's being used to pay to represent them, to defend them, where is that coming from? Is that taxpayer money?
It is taxpayer money. It's listed by the state comptroller as fees paid by the state attorney general, who has the authority to determine whether to pay these legal bills.
Well, so it's a decision they get to make. It's not de rigueur to pay for their defense.
It's very rare for a prosecutor to be called before the Board of Bar Overseers, and the Attorney General has the discretion to determine whether to make these payments and says it has made payments similar to this in other cases, although certainly not cases as big as this, which would have such extensive legal fees.
And is that why this is people are questioning the ethics of Healey's office paying for these legal fees?
Well, there are some questioning this, and some say, though, that these are public employees who are innocent until proven guilty. The state should pay to represent them. But others say the state should not be on the hook for bills to represent lawyers facing discipline. Here's Boston College Law Professor R. Michael Cassidy.
Because it's a lawyer rather than a different type of public servant, I think that there's a valid question about whether it's in the best interest of the public for tax dollars to be spent that way.
And others also question why the state is paying when it would not pay for representation in disciplinary proceedings for other public lawyers, such as public defenders.
So what does AG Healey's office have to say about this?
Well, Healey's office says that because the alleged misconduct involving these three former prosecutors occurred while they were on the job, the state should pay the bills. The office also says these three lawyers have a right to counsel, and AG Healey's office has an agreement with the private law firms involved to pay them $300 an hour, up to $330,000 each, not including some related expenses. So right now it totals more than $1 million. And that might sound like a lot, but several attorneys I spoke with say that $300,000 per law firm is actually inexpensive for this type of work. And we should say this work will continue as the disciplinary proceedings go forward.
Yeah, Deb, my head is kind of spinning from this. You know, we talked earlier about how this case just won't die. You know, the state is still grappling with the drug lab scandal almost a decade later.
Yes, and the expenses continue to rack up. These expenses that we're talking about right now about representing lawyers in disciplinary proceedings do not include the legal expenses to represent these former prosecutors in civil litigation over convictions that were tossed because the evidence was determined to be faulty. There are also all the expenses incurred to deal with this scandal, and some have estimated that these lab scandals in Massachusetts will cost at least tens of millions of dollars.
Great reporting, Deb. And somehow I feel like this won't be the last time we're talking about this. Thank you.
Probably not. Thanks for having me.
That's WBUR's Deborah Becker. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. The COVID transmission rate, unfortunately, is up. The city's test positive rate has spiked to 4.2% just a week after moving into the final phase of reopening. Here's Acting Mayor Kim Janey.
The change is largely due to a higher rate of infection among younger residents. More than half of the new cases in the past 2 weeks have come from Bostonians under the age of 29.
Janey is encouraging residents to double down on safety protocols, but gave no suggestion of walking back Phase 4 reopening plans. Meantime, only a dozen of the state's 480 law enforcement agencies are using body cameras, and even fewer have dashboard cameras. This comes even as nationwide the majority of departments are using both. Tom O'Donnell is chief of the tiny central Massachusetts town of West Brookfield. All 10 of his officers wear body cameras. He wonders if fear of change has stopped other departments from doing the same.
It's that Yankee mentality. That's not the way we did it. As far as police training and procedures and things like that go, we are so far ahead of the curve, it never ceases to amaze me that we're kind of behind on the technology part of it.
We should note that the number of Massachusetts police departments using body cameras is on the rise, slowly but surely. And the Red Sox are slated to play their first game of the year at Fenway Park tomorrow, so long as the weather cooperates. Fenway Park organist Josh Cantor says he's looking forward to playing off the crowd again, even a crowd diminished because of COVID restrictions.
I'm looking forward to feeling like, obviously not like we are, you know, to where we want to be, but that we are on the right path in terms of getting to a place where we can do these kinds of things safely and as time goes on with fewer and fewer restrictions.
Josh says he always accepts music requests during home games. Just find him on Twitter and send in yours. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since hot dogs and bleacher seats, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. Speaking of podcasts, here's a couple more you might enjoy. All Revved Up. Join host and Reverends Irene Monroe and Emmett Price as they explore the intersection of faith, politics, and culture. And if you and your kids are looking for a new adventure this fall, listen to the Molly of Denali podcast. This new 8-part story is based on the hit PBS Kids show. This season, ride a mystery train with Molly and Trini as they solve the case of a missing jewel necklace. Subscribe to both wherever you get your podcasts.